It is good to be here with you today. We trust that God has already blessed you, spoken to you, and that your life has already been changed as we come into the holy presence of our Lord. Have you ever heard the announcer that does the wrestling? You ever heard that guy? Let's get ready to rumble! Well, I think I'm going to talk to Pastor Mike and tell him to put... You've seen that Billy Bass thing? You know, you go past Billy Bass and he starts singing, "Take me to the river." Well, I'm going to talk to Brother Mike and see if we can't do something about getting one of them systems out here as you come across the driveway and you turn in. And whenever you turn in, there's a voice that comes across that says, "Let's get ready to worship." Wouldn't that be good? Worship. That is why we are here. That we might worship the Lord. And that should be the most exciting thing that we do every week. If we would spend time with God every day, and you worship Him in your home every day, you would look forward to Sunday and you would say, "Oh, that's not let it in. That's keep it going every Sunday. That's just every day be Sunday." That's the way the early church was. The Bible says they met from house to house because they couldn't get enough of worship. Our problem is we don't worship the Lord throughout the week. And when we come into His house, we have so many burdens piled on us that we're trying to carry around that we can't worship the Lord when we come in. That's what we want to do today. We simply want to worship the Lord. Because that's why we're here. Did you like the music this morning? Don't answer that. Because I don't care. Were you in Sunday school this morning? You should have been if you wasn't. Did you like the lesson? I don't care. And when I'm finished, somebody said, "Well, I don't care much for what you said this morning." I don't care. I don't. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. We Baptists are the dumbest people in the world. We really are. We come to worship and we say, "It's all about the King." When really it's all about how I feel and what I think and how I feel when I leave. Whether I come back next week or not. Now, y'all can come back next week. I'll be here again. But the week after, Brother Mike will be here. So if you don't decide you don't want to come back next week, at least come back the week after. Well, Brother Mike's a lot better than I am. A lot nicer too. But this morning we're talking about worship of God. I want you to turn with me into the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 is a marvelous, marvelous chapter. Because it is a worship chapter. Now, when we get to this point, what we see is the church has already been raptured. In chapter 4, it begins talking about some things that are going to have to happen after the church is raptured. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "After these things," after what things? After the church, after the church is with Christ. Now, go with me over to chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading with verse 8. You know, I didn't even tell Dennis what my message was this morning. And I did not even know what scripture that you all were memorizing. But Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 is what he read this morning. Remember? I mean, that was just 3 or 4 minutes ago. Y'all remember that. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. "Now, when he had taken the scroll and the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to our God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. Isn't that marvelous? One of these days we're going to be a part of that. The angels of glory, the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels are going to be there, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Amen. That, my friend, is a worship celebration. And you ought to be excited about it. Because one of these days, we're going to go into the kingdom of the glory of heaven, and we're going to fall down and worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Let's pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank You again for the blessing of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your leadership in our lives today. Thank You for bringing us together this morning. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that through the power of Your Spirit, You speak to our hearts. Change our lives and just let us glorify Christ in this day. Heavenly Father, we give You the praise and glory for what You'll do. We honor and praise You here this morning. I pray for a fresh anointing of Your Word, a fresh power upon me, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit that I may speak with boldness and clarity. Father, we just pray that every person here will be changed because we met with You this day. Bless us, Lord, as only You can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, we do appreciate the gift that you have given to the orphanage in India. We are planning to go there. Remember to write down to pray for us between October the 6th. We will leave the country and we will return on October the 19th. And in between that time, we will be in India ministering to a orphanage. And also, I'll be teaching from 2 Timothy. Jan's going to be teaching the ladies, something about the role of the ladies in the church. Pastor Amos from Huntington is going with us, going to be teaching the book of James. Bethany Tobias from Huntington is also going with us. He's going to be teaching the children in their school. And then we'll be doing a crusade each night. So you pray for us while we're gone. I think it's going to be an exciting time, and we're really looking forward to it. And we appreciate you sacrificing to give so that they may have. Because these kids have literally nothing except what's given to them through the orphanage. It's just heartbreaking. We'll bring some pictures back and show them to you so that you can see where your gifts went. And we do appreciate you doing that. It was in India that God brought a revelation to me one day. And it was in another orphanage where we was, and we was in a place called Arku Valley. Arku Valley is one of the pretty spots of India. It's not as pretty as northern India, but it's down in the southern part, and it's a beautiful area. It's kind of up in the mountains, and we were sitting there in Arku Valley. When you go to Arku Valley, you spend 2 weeks there, so usually on Friday, Jan and I would travel. But when you went to Arku Valley, you spent 2 weeks. So on Friday, you didn't travel. On Saturday, you kind of just kick back and chill out. Now, you were in a place where you had no television, so you didn't chill out a whole lot. You were also in a place where if you got internet connection long enough to get a small email sent. And I mean a small email. I'm talking about an email that says, "Hey, we're okay, we're doing fine, everything's good." And sign your name to it, and it would take almost 10 minutes to send that out of this system. I mean, it is dial-up, and Americans don't even know what slow is. Y'all think this internet we've got today is slow? Go to India, to this part of the world, and you'll find out what slow internet is. You couldn't stay online long enough to bring the internet up. So there's not a whole lot to do there, except just kind of chill out. And on this one particular time, we had one of our DVDs with us that we were bringing back for our grandkids, and boredom kind of makes you watch stuff that you normally wouldn't watch. So we put that in and got to noticing some of the kids outside standing there with their faces pressed against the window. So we just opened up the door to our little apartment and wound up with about 50 kids sitting in there watching this with us. And it was a joy to do that. And after we had done that, I'd been asked to preach at the church the next morning. And I thought, well, you know, I need to get ready for that. And I began to prepare for that. And I'm kind of sitting off by myself. And I heard Kenneth and another young man who was going to lead the music the next day at the church. And they would start to sing. And then they'd quit. Then they'd start to play the instruments and they'd sing and they just quit right in the middle of a song. And I thought, what in the world are they doing? I mean, they sounded good to me. But what they were doing was practicing. They were rehearsing. They were getting ready. Now, I think choir's going to start here next week. Okay? Listen, I'm like Barney Fife. Have you ever watched Barney Fife and you seen him in the choir? That's me. So you don't want me in the choir. I can tell you right ahead of time. You don't want me there. But if you can sing, you need to be here. Because what that is getting ready. It is preparation. When you rehearse, when you practice, it is preparation for a future event. Now, I don't know, you're going to do a Christmas cantata? Is that what you're starting to get ready for? Okay. They're going to be doing a Christmas cantata. You'll know the date when it's going to happen. So you have between now and that time to get ready and to make preparation so that whenever you come out and share that, everybody knows what's happening and you're all in unison and everything just sounds good and sounds like it's supposed to. It literally sounds like you've actually practiced. You have rehearsed for that event that you might give glory and praise unto a Heavenly Father through song in that experience. And you prepare for it. What did you realize? That the reason you are here today, the reason that we worship on Sunday, the reason that we come together week after week after week after week after week is we are practicing for that day when we will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the glory of heaven. God showed me that day so real that it was just like God was speaking to my heart. And he said, what you're doing every Sunday is you are practicing. You are getting ready for the day when you will come into my holy presence and you need all the practice you can get. He was talking to me that day. He's not talking to you all. That's what we're doing. We are in rehearsal. Somebody said, do I need to come to church on Sunday night? Well, you need to practice. Yeah, you do. You ought to practice every chance you get. You ought to get ready because one of these days we're going to go into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's all about Him anyway. And all we're doing is practicing for that marvelous day when we are going to worship Him. And the Bible says that in verse 8 of chapter 5, now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, look at this, the creatures of heaven and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. I leave Baptists out. We don't like new songs. Listen, I love the old hymns. I really do. I don't like new songs. But the Bible said whenever we get there, we're going to sing a new song. And the title of the song is found in verse 12. And the title of the song is, Worthy is the Lamb. That's the song title. And there are three stanzas to that song. The first stanza is found in verse 9 where he says, Worthy is the Lamb because you are an obedient son. Look at what he says in verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain. Obedience unto God. Secondly, he is worthy because he has redeemed us. And have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thirdly, the third stanza is the exaltation that Christ has given to us. For he has made us kings and priests to God. And we shall reign on earth. That's the song we're going to sing. And the song title is Worthy is the Lamb. And he is worthy because the Bible says he is obedient unto a Heavenly Father. Look with me real quickly over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, because in Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives us a vision of the worthiness of Christ, of who he is. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? Paul starts right out telling us what we need. We need the mind of Christ. When we get to the worship service in the glory of heaven, we're going to have the mind of Christ. We're all going to be changed. We're going to be made new, he says. And whenever we come into his holy presence, we will have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven, of those things on earth, and of those things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now listen to me for a moment. We are not talking about a salvation that is going to come to everybody, but we are talking about an acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. And those in heaven, and those in hell, and those that remain upon the earth during the days of the tribulation are going to recognize who this person is. It is Jesus. Do you realize the people in hell today know exactly who Jesus is, and they're longing for people in our world today to come to know him in a personal way, that they not wind up in such a pit as they're in? They understand that. We in our world today think, oh, we don't need that. We don't need that understanding. But Paul tells us very clearly who Jesus is. And he tells us very clearly that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. There will be a universal acknowledgement of who Jesus is, but that does not talk about a universal salvation. Our salvation is dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. And John says in a most marvelous way that worthy is the Lamb because he is obedient unto the Father. He was obedient when the Father said, I need someone to go. Son, I need you to go. I need somebody to go to earth. All the sacrifice and all this other stuff been messed up. I need somebody to go. And the son said, I'll go. Jesus said, I'll go down. Now, son, you got to understand when you get there that they're going to hate you. You got to understand they're going to spit upon you. You got to understand they're going to curse you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. You got to understand these things. And Jesus understood all of this before he laid aside the robe of glory to come to earth and walk among us. He knew all that. No, nothing that happened to Jesus in his lifetime was a surprise to Jesus, by the way. It was to us, it was to man, but it wasn't to Jesus. He knew all this when he came. And when he laid aside his robes of glory and he came down to live among man and he began to walk among man, and as men began to look at him and he began to minister to them, they began to hate him. Don't be amazed when you do a kindness to somebody that they don't like you. We talked about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning. You should have been in Sunday school so you didn't know what I was talking about. Don't miss next week because I may have something about that in the sermon. You'll need to be able to apply it. Jesus walked among men. He did kindness. And people hated him and condemned him and destroyed him. Jesus knew all that. But he was obedient to a heavenly Father. And he came and walked among men. Not only that, he is worthy because he was obedient even unto death, Paul says. And John says the same thing there in Revelation. In Revelation, John says that he was obedient because he was slain. That word for slain doesn't mean he was just put to death. It means that he was morbidly put to death. It means that he suffered during that death. It meant it is the most cruel of death that he goes through. He was obedient even unto death. And that means the death of the cross, Paul says. And the death of the cross was the most cruel device to kill somebody that man has ever invented upon the face of the earth. It began with a judgment to where you were found guilty. It meant you went to the pole where they would strap you to the pole and beat you with the cat of nine tails. And they would literally lacerate your body from top to bottom. Your body would not have a spot on it that was not cut and was not bleeding. And then they would take you and walk you up and down the street and take you to a place called Golgotha, or a place that we know as Calvary. And they would take you there and lay you down on a stick and nail you to a cross and lift you up. And people would walk by and they make fun of you and they make shame of you and they spit at you and they curse you because you were dying the death of a criminal. And your blood would flow down. And then whenever you would die, they would take you and throw you into a grave where nobody cared about you. That's the way of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, He went in the same fashion. The only difference, when He died on the cross, they took Him down from the cross and laid Him in a rich man's grave. They borrowed a grave because Jesus wasn't going to be there very long. You see, He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But not only that, on Sunday morning, when the Father called out and said, "All right, son, it's Sunday now. It's time to get up." The Son comes out of the grave in obedience to the command of God. You see, He is worthy to be praised because He is obedient unto a heavenly Father. Not only that, stanza number two. He is worthy to be praised because He is our Redeemer. He has redeemed us. John says that He redeemed us. That word redeemed means this. It means that something belonged to somebody. It got lost or got taken. And you go and you buy it back. And you bring it back to yourself. What it means for you and I, God created the world. Folks, I don't know how ignorant people can be. I really don't. But we human beings are some of the dumbest people that there is. Really. I mean, only stupid people could believe that this just all happened somehow, some way back in history. There was a little seed. I must not have a lot of faith, because there was a little seed back there. And this little seed formed into an earth, and it formed into all the stars and all that is there. And one day, this little seed was out there in the water, and it was floating around or swimming around. And it came up on land, and it found out that it could breathe. And whenever it found out it could breathe, it started to grow. And as it started to grow, it grew a tail. And one day it got up and stood on its hind legs. It didn't know that it needed a tail anymore. So the tail fell off, and we call that thing a human. Now, you may have faith to believe that garbage, but I don't. Well, that's the dumbest stuff I ever heard of in my life. It's much simpler to believe that God created the world in 7 days. Amen? Come on, isn't that simpler? I mean, it doesn't take near the faith to believe that there's an almighty creator out here somewhere that spoke all this into existence and created man and created woman and brought them together that they might multiply the earth. It don't take near as much faith as it does to believe that other foolishness. You see, we are here. The world is here because it belongs to God. And listen to me, God's still in charge. Now, we may sit and look at it and say, "Man, I'm wondering who's in charge," but I got news for you. There ain't anything happening in our world today that surprised God. He's not amazed by all the financial problem we're in. He's not amazed by all the trouble that we're having. He's not even amazed that Obama's in the White House. He's not. That didn't shock him. He didn't sit in heaven and see the polls come in and say, "Oh, no, look at that." It didn't surprise him. We sit around and act like God's amazed over all this stuff. God's not amazed by this stuff, folks. We are His creation. He made us. And then one day a serpent came into a garden and spoke with the woman of the house. And as he was speaking with the woman of the house, he began to talk to her. And as he talked to her, she ate the fruit of the tree. And Adam, now Jan will tell you that Adam was there and he was scared to death he's going to miss something, so he went and ate it too. Afraid she's going to get something he didn't have. And he ate it too. And sin came into the world and rebellion came against God. You see, we sold the world unto the devil. God didn't hand it over. Man sold out that which God already has. And now God says there must be a Redeemer. And he sent his Son into the world that he might buy back that which was already his. Just like the story of a little boy. Little boy made this boat. Nice little boat. He did a lot of work on the boat. He carved the boat out. He had the boat. He put his name on the bottom of the boat. He put the date that he made it. And he set it up on the mantle so people could see the boat that he made. Well, little boys have this misunderstanding that, you know, why do you have a boat sitting on a mantle? It ought to float. And he didn't know if the boat would float or not. So one day he went out to the creek and he takes his little boat and he puts it into the water to see if it'll float. And sure enough, it floated. The problem was it got away from him and it drifted away and he couldn't get it. And the little boat was lost. And one day he was walking by a store in town. And as he walked by the store in town, he looked in the window and sure enough, there was his boat. And he ran inside the store and he picked up the little boat and he hugged the boat and he said, "This is my boat." And he goes up to the storekeeper and he said, sir, this is my boat." And the storekeeper looked at him and said, "No, son, you're wrong. That's my boat. Now, if you want the boat, you can buy it." "But no, sir. Look, sir, it's got my name on it. It's got the date that I made it on." He said, "No, son, you don't understand. That's my boat. If you want it, you can buy it." And the little boy lays it aside and runs home and gets all of his money that he has together. He comes back and he lays it on the counter and the storekeeper sold him the boat. And the little boy goes outside and he hugs his boat and he said, "You were mine because I made you. Now you're mine because I bought you." That's exactly what redemption is. Jesus made us. He created us. He came and shed his blood on the cross that he might buy us back and we might know him. That's redemption. He is worthy because he has redeemed us and he has redeemed us by his blood. What can wash away my sin? Oh, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? The blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you take the blood out of our religion, you got nothing left. It is the blood that washes us. It is the blood that makes us. It is the blood that takes our sin and removes us, removes our sin from the presence of God. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. He has redeemed us through his blood. And I love this part. He has redeemed us in America. Amen. He has redeemed us in the Jewish faith. If you're not a Jew, you can't be redeemed. You knew that, didn't you? That's a common teaching, by the way, in Paul's day. If you're not an American, you can't be redeemed. If you're not a Hebrew, you can't be redeemed. I'm going to tell you something. None of us believe that, but we all live it. I want you to see what he says. Look at this. He says, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Listen to me. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and kingdom of the world. Remember the little song? We don't sing it much anymore. At least y'all might. I haven't heard it for a long time. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. If I could sing, I'd sing that for you, but I can't sing. But I believe the truth of that. I'm telling you right now, my friend, Jesus loved the people of the world. And he gave his Son's blood that our sin might be washed away. And he doesn't care if you're black, white, yellow, green, red, or purple. He doesn't care if you're American. He doesn't care if you're Hebrew. He doesn't care if you're Jewish. He doesn't care if you're a Samaritan. He doesn't care if you're an Indian. He doesn't care if you're a Pakistani. He doesn't care if you're a Muslim. He doesn't care who you are. Jesus died for you. And we need to understand that. He died for the world that they might come to Him, that one day we might have a celebration in His presence. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? Woo! Get excited about something. If you can't get excited about worship and celebration of God, you're dead. You need to know Christ in a personal way and get the Holy Spirit in you. I think Baptists need a good dose of the Holy Spirit anyway. He is worthy because He was obedient to a Father. He is worthy because He has redeemed us from our sin. Thirdly, He is worthy because He has exalted us and made us somebody. Aren't you glad that you're somebody? Look at this. I love this. He has made us kings. A king rules. Do you realize that we have the power to rule this nation? It's already been given to us by God. God hasn't lost control, folks. We've given up control. We've surrendered control. But God hadn't lost it. He's still in charge. Do you realize that we are made kings that we might rule the world? God means for His church to rule all over. We've just let Satan take over. We've got so scared that we're letting Satan take over. We're like some of the kings of the Old Testament. We got sin in our lives, and with sin in our lives, we forget who we are and the power that we have. We need to go back and be reminded who we are. We are sons of the King who has made us kings, and we need to be reminded of the power that we have. We got power over sickness, illness. We got power over the world. We've got dominion over our world today. We need to reclaim the power of God in the church. I don't see the early church walking in before the governor saying, "Sir, can we pray in public?" Do you? I don't see them walking in before the governors of the world saying, "Sir, can we be a witness? Will it be all right if we have a Bible study here, sir, please?" No, I just see them doing it because God gave them a command to do it. And they were just so dumb, they thought they had the power to do it. And they did it. And they turned a world upside down. When we reclaim that kind of power in America, we'll turn America upside down. Because we are kings in Christ. Secondly, we're priests. We're priests. He has made us, elevated us to the priesthood. You realize you're a priest? You know what a priest is? A priest is somebody that goes between man and God. I'm a priest. I'm glad to know you got Baptist priest. That's what I am. I'm a person that goes to God, gets a message from God, and brings it to you. I'm a go-between. I'm a priest. Do you realize you're a priest? The places that you work, the places that you go, those people that do not know Christ, you're a priest to them. You're the only person that stands between Almighty God and that person. Think about it. You're it. You are the person that stands between a lost and dying world and a loving God that has a desire to bring them into the kingdom of God. You're it. You are the only Jesus they are ever going to see. I'll never forget standing at the back door of a church one day. As I stood there, it's the first church I pastored. And I was standing there shaking hands with people, and this one young boy comes walking out. And as he's walking out, one of the deacons standing there, and we were talking about Jesus, and he asked the young boy, said, "Son, did you ever see God?" And the young boy said, "Yeah." And I looked at him in amazement, and the deacon stood there with the mouth hanging open, and he said, "When?" And he turned around and he pointed to me, and he said, "Right there." Ooh, that's right. Terrified me. Taught me a lesson. But I'm going to tell you all something that's going to terrify you. You are the only Jesus those people in your workplace is ever going to see. You're it. You've been made a priest by the almighty hand of God. Not only that. Thirdly, he says that we are going to rule. Folks, we're in charge. We just need to get it straightened out in our minds. You see, one of these days, we're going to be in the glory of heaven, and we're going to have the privilege of bowing down. The Bible says that they fell on their face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sang a new song. And the song title is, Worthy is the Lamb. Let me ask you something. Are you going to be there to sing that day? Are you going to be there in the glory of heaven to bow down in the presence of an almighty God to worship Him? If not, the question is this. Why not? Jesus has already paid the price for you to be there. Your ticket is stamped. It's already done. You don't have to do anything except believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Do you do that? Let me ask you something else. Do you get excited when it's time to come to worship? I do. Somebody says, yeah, but so you get to stand up and yell and holler. But even when I'm coming to worship and I'm not preaching, I'm excited. Because I get to come together with the body of Christ and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you excited about coming to the house of God? My friend, if you're not, you need a dose of the Holy Spirit in you. You need to recommit yourself to the Lord. You got stuff in your life that you need to get rid of so you might celebrate with Jesus. Because one of these days, we're going to celebrate before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to know how to do it. This is practice. We're getting ready. Are you excited about it? I can't wait for that day when we're standing in the glory of heaven and the trumpet sounds. And we bow in the presence of our Master. And we declare Him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we acknowledge Him for who He is. Heavenly Father, touch our hearts this morning as only You can. Lord, I pray right now that You just speak to every heart and every life that's in this place. Draw us now to the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, some here today need to commit their lives to You. I pray they do so. Some just need to be obedient to You, united in fellowship with this church or whatever else, Lord, that it is You'd have in their life. Some just need to get on fire for You, Lord. They just need to have a fresh encounter with You today. And all, Holy Spirit, I pray that You bring that about this morning because we do worship Jesus. We praise Him. We honor Him. We lift up glory and praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Father, give us the power to live in such a fashion that we bring glory and honor to Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing without Him. And if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ in your life and your heart, we invite you to come. Because, my friend, you will never make it to the glory of heaven without Him. If you're here today and you need to find that joy and that peace in your life, you will never find it without Him. Will you just come right now to commit your life to Him? United fellowship with this church, whatever God lays upon your heart this morning, come to this altar and just kneel down and fall on your face before the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen to the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning.